Clap of praise again for the blood still working. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins when sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. We thank God that he has redeemed us. If you are saved this morning, never take that too casually. Never take that for granted. Never take that flippantly, but always take it reverently and joyously that we are indeed in an eternal relationship with Almighty God, an eternal relationship with the living Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning if you can stand as we reverence God and the reading of the Word of God as I continue preaching through 1st John, in chapter 2 and verses 12 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. It's in your bulletin, and of course it's in your Bible. I'll just read this in your hearing, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. John writes to the believers here and to you and I this morning. He said, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Once again, verse 12 says, "I write to you, little children." Verse 13 says, "I write to you, young men, and I write to you, fathers." My thought for this morning is, which group are you in? Which group are you in? You may be seated. Which group are you in? Which group are you in? Which group are you in? You know, in the Christian faith, in the Christian walk, there are different levels of maturity. If you're born again, you should be able to relate to that yourself. All of us, we grow some, we grow at different rates, and we're at different spots. If you've been saved any number of years, you should be at a little different level of maturity than what you were back when you got saved. So in the text before us this morning, it mentions three types of stages, if you will. It says little children, says young men, and says fathers. And there are some students of the Bible, there are some theologians who think that this might just refer to chronological ages, and it could. But there are a greater majority that looks at this text, brother said, and says that this is referring to the Christian, but referring to different levels of spiritual maturity. So that's the angle we're taking this morning, the different levels of spiritual maturity. And for me, so this morning, let this morning's sermon be an evaluation tool for you to say, where am I as it relates to my spiritual growth? Am I still a little child? Or am I, you know, a young man, young adult? Or am I like a father, real mature in the faith? So we're going to look at these three different levels of spiritual growth this morning. And sometimes, let me just say this on the front end, sometimes we may kind of go in and out of different one of these stages. But which one of these stages are you primarily hanging out in? The first stage is little children. If you're taking notes, you want to jot that down. I'm getting all this right out of the Bible, right out of the text. Little children, the Bible says, the little children, their sins are forgiven for his name's sake, and you have known the Father. So little children, sins are forgiven for his name's sake, and they have known the Father. They have known the Father. I'm going to kind of repeat or reiterate these. So if you don't get all this right now, I'll give it to you in a little later. So what a blessing it is to be a child of God. What a blessing it is to be a little child of God. Your sins are forgiven you. What a blessing. The next category talks about young men, meaning men or women. It says that they are strong. Young men, they are strong. It says the word of God is in you. The word of God is in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. That's a great category. You're growing in your faith. You're strong. The word of God is in you. And you have overcome the devil. You make a practice of overcoming, Mother Scott, the wicked one, the devil. And then the third category, the third level of maturity, if you will, spiritual maturity, it addresses this group as fathers. And it simply says the fathers have known him who is from the beginning. The father has known God, has known Jesus, has known him. And we're going to kind of expand on those in just a moment. But as we go through this sermon this morning, praying and say, Lord, which one of these groups do I hang out in the most? Am I, once again, a little child, still a little young, immature in my faith? Or am I kind of growing, maybe like a young adult? Or am I a mature father in the faith? The first category, once again, to be a child of God, if you're born again, if you are redeemed, your sins have been forgiven. We just partook of the Lord's Supper. I mean, that's a blessing to rejoice. I mean, never, ever again take that for granted that you are saved, that you are born again. And if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. I pause right now. You can come forward even right now. We have a minister or a deacon or somebody to lead you out and share the gospel with you. You can get saved today. You can get saved right now. But it's good to be born again. I'm glad that I have a relationship with God. I'm glad that I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I know him personally and intimately. What a blessing it is to have a relationship with God. What a blessing it is to have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that's why we were created. We were created to have a relationship with him, to worship him, to serve him, and to enjoy him forever. So if you don't have a relationship with the Master, your life is incomplete. Your life is not what it could be or should be. Your life is definitely not like that book that was written by the guy in Houston, Your Best Life Now. If you don't know Jesus, you're not having your best life. Let me say this. Even if you know Jesus, you're still not having your best life now. I mean, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. This is not our best life now. But little children, you've known the Father, or you know the Father. Verse 13 tells us. This word "know" here in the text comes from a Greek word which is gnosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O, gnosko, a Greek word, gnosko. And what it means in the original language is it signifies, listen to this, it signifies to be taking in knowledge. Because it says that they know the Father, the little children. So this is written once again to Christians. You're taking in knowledge. It means to come to know. It means to recognize. It means to understand. It means to understand more fully, or even in some cases completely. We know we never completely get to know God to his fullest, but we get to know him better. So little children have known the Father. They are saved. They are born again. They're in the Christian faith. They're born again. But they're still very immature in the Christian faith. They're still very immature. Matter of fact, Ephesians 4:14, listen to this, saints. Ephesians 4:14 says, we are no longer to be children tossed to and fro, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. So the Bible says we are to no longer be little children. We are to grow up in the most holy faith. Don't keep getting tricked by the same old little schemes of the devil. The same stuff he tripped you up with 5 years ago, that same stuff shouldn't be tripping you up today. The scripture said, don't let the same little winds of doctrine carry you off course like they used to. Don't let that old stuff keep tripping you up. Now, grow up. Grow from into the most holy faith. Grow from being a little child to a young adult. So young adult, young men in verse 13 and verse 14, in the middle of those verses, verse 13 and 14, look at the text. It says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. We know who that is. That's the devil. That's Satan. Also, verse 14 said, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. So once again, if you're taking notes, young men, they have overcome the wicked one. They live being victorious over sin. They're not always tripped up all the time like they were as a young child, as a young Christian. And also, listen, they are strong, the Bible says, and the word of God abides in them. So they have overcome the wicked one. They are strong in the Lord, and the word of God abides in them. Well, they have overcome. Well, how have they overcome? They are strong. Well, how? Why are they strong? Well, the word of God is right there in the text. The word of God is in them. Let me say that again. They're strong because the word of God is in them. They're strong because they abide in the word of God. And the only way the word of God is going to abide in you is for you to abide in it. Let me say that again a little more slowly. The only way that the word of God is going to abide in you is for you to abide in it. You got to spend some time in the word of God. You got to spend some time with Jesus. You got to spend some time with God that you might become strong, that you might learn how to overcome the wicked one. Now listen, now check this out. If you saw a 12-year-old child and they still had a pacifier in their mouth or drinking milk from a bottle or still in their thumb. My oldest brother used to suck his thumb and our daughter Ashley used to suck her thumb. But if you saw them 12, 14 years old still drinking milk from a bottle, Brother Vizo, still sucking their thumb, you'd be like something, still wearing Pampers. You'd be like something is wrong somewhere. Well, how is it that a person can say I've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but they still on Similac? They still on Infamil? They still wearing Pampers? Something is wrong somewhere. Well, obviously, they haven't been abiding in the word of God. The level of your spiritual growth, the level of my spiritual growth is directly attached to the amount of time I spend with the master. Let me say that one again. Your spiritual growth, my spiritual growth is directly attached to the level and amount of time and quality of time I spend with the master. If I'm not spending any time with Jesus, if I'm not spending much time with God in prayer and reading the scriptures and applying the scriptures, obeying the scriptures, and doing what God has called me to do, I'm going to stay a midget Christian. For those of you who remember Fantasy Island, you're going to be like Tattoo. The plane. We got to grow, saints. The millennials and the ones born later on, they say, what is he talking about? Fantasy Island and Tattoo. The rest of us about 40-something or older, we remember that show from back in the day. But your desire, my desire should be, I want to grow as a Christian. You start out being a little child, little children. You know the Father. You're saved. You're born again. But you become a young adult. You learn how to overcome the wicked one. You learn how to control the flesh. You learn how to experience some victory. And I'm not talking about, and John is not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm talking about you do learn how to sin less. You do grow in areas of grace. You do grow. You're becoming a young person in the faith. Now look, we have to have the word of God. Jesus shows us that in Luke chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4. If you're reading through the New Testament, you would have read that by now this year. But in Luke, the Bible says in Luke and Matthew, the Holy Spirit, we know about this account, led Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, right? So let's look and see how our Lord and Savior, who's all God yet all man, let's see how Jesus experienced victory over the enemy. Let's see how he overcame. Well, there were three different temptations. When the devil came to him the first time, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, 40 days, 40 nights, nothing to eat. And so the devil, he's pretty shrewd. The devil said, by now, I'm sure he's hungry. So he approaches Jesus and said, Brother Greer, he said, you see these stones, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, just turn these stones into bread. I know you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. And what did Jesus say? It is written. Y'all with me this morning? He said, it is written. It is written. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if Jesus chose to use the word of God against the devil, if Jesus, who is all God, who is all power in his hand, who's resurrected, if he used the word of God, against the devil, surely you and I need to use the word of God. Don't try to use your little word. Don't try to use your little reason, your little logic. Well, I can handle this one. I got this. No, no, we need the Lord. We need the Lord every day. We need the Lord every moment of every day. We need the Lord always to overcome. That's when the saint falls, when we think I got this under control now. You fall every time. He probably wouldn't mind me sharing this. Pastor Smith, you know, the founding pastor here, he was saying how, you know, when he started preaching, he said his very first sermon, he said, it went well. He said, yeah, man, it went well. And so he said that second sermon, he was kind of like, well, I got this. Now, he said he fell flat on his face. He said, bomb. He said, he learned right then, I need the Lord. Every time I stand and preach, every time I get ready to do something, you need the Lord. So if God gives you victory in a certain area today, don't get to tomorrow and say, God, I got this now. I can handle this on my own. No, you need the Lord. I need the Lord. We need Jesus. That's how we become strong in the faith. By abiding with him. Hanging out with him. That's how we go from being a little child to a young adult to a mature father in the faith. We need the word of God. Ephesians 6. Finishing up Ephesians 6. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. So Ephesians 6 talks about the full armor of God. And check this out. We are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You and I need the word of God. I said, you and I need the word of God. That's our offensive weapon. That's why if the enemy starts whispering in your ear about, well, I can't do it, I can't make it. You can say, wait a minute, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If the enemy says, your needs are not going to be met, you know, you're not going to have enough food to eat or this or that, or your needs are not going to be met. Wait a minute. Jesus said, my Father takes care of the birds in the sky, and surely he's going to take care of me. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Philippians 4 said, be anxious for nothing. That's why we need the word of God. Be anxious for nothing. But by everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You find yourself getting very fearful, very fretful. So wait a minute. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you find yourself, well, I got to yield to this temptation. No, I got to say, wait a minute. No temptation has come upon you, but God is faithful. I said, God is faithful that with the temptation, he'll give you the way of escape that you might be able to endure it. You and I need the word of God. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need to abide in the word of God. That's why how we would grow strong and overcome the wicked one. I'm in the text, and overcome the wicked one. So not only that, so which group are you in? Are you little children, or are you a young man, young woman growing in the faith? Or here's another group, Samaritan, here's another group, fathers. And it simply said, I thought it was pretty interesting, in verse 13 and 14, it simply said, it doesn't say much about fathers. You know, it gives us a little more information about young men, how they are strong and abiding in the word and overcome the enemy, the wicked one. But it just says fathers. It says they simply know him who is from the beginning. The mature man, the mature woman in Christ, they know God in a personal way. It's basically the same know as mentioned earlier in the text. They know God intimately. They have known him, and they are continuing to grow in the knowledge of him. They know him, and so they are moving from adolescence to adulthood. Why? Because they know God intimately. They know God personally. And this is not just knowing facts about. Yes, that's part of it. We need to know attributes of God. We need to know things about God. We need to know that he's all power, all knowing. He's everywhere all at the same time. We need to know all those things. But it's more than just knowing about him. I said, it's more than just knowing about him. It's knowing him personally, knowing him intimately, having a relationship with him. He is your father. So therefore, you're growing and maturing into a father in the faith. You're developing history with him. With our God, with our Christ. The one who is from the beginning. The one who has no beginning nor no ending. The one who is Alpha and Omega. He's from the beginning. And somebody said, where did God come from? Go way, 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 way back. And whenever you get way back, go further back. Because he has no beginning. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that for a moment. He has no beginning. spoke everything just out of nothing. But the person that's growing in their faith, the one that's a father in the faith, know him. They know him. Not just facts about him, but they know him personally. Wait a minute, I can hear the Apostle Paul saying, Philippians 3, oh, I want to know him, talking about Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, I hear the psalmist saying in Psalms 42, as a deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I can hear grandmama saying, oh, every day with the Lord gets sweeter than the day before. The scriptures say, oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. So one of the ways that you and I grow is by, again, getting to know him better. The more you get to know God, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you want to know about Jesus. The more you want to know about God. Because really, almost like a paradox. The more I learn about the Lord, the more I learn about Scripture, the more I realize I don't know about the Lord and I don't know about Scripture. The more I realize I need to try to learn, need to try to grow. So it's an endless pursuit of God. It's an endless chasing of God. That helps us to grow spiritually. You have a hunger and a thirst to be close to God. Now listen, check this out. Moses, just follow the scriptures. People who were close to God had a desire, Sister Howard, to be closer to God. Here it is, Moses. God has spoke to him through a burning bush. Any of y'all ever had a burning bush experience? I hadn't had anything quite like that happen to me, never. God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, right? Sister Flippin calls him out to go down to Egypt, right? To deliver the people out of Egypt, right? So Moses is getting to know God pretty good. Matter of fact, God showed those 10 miracles. You know, turn the whole Nile River into blood. It's all kind of stuff. And even on that last night, sent the death angel down through Egypt. So Moses is close to God. They were at the Red Sea. The mighty Egyptian army on one side, the Red Sea right here. And Moses like, what are we going to do? And Moses looked to God, and Moses, God said, what you got in your hand? Just reach out that staff and I'll part the Red Sea. So Moses saw God do all of those things. But in Exodus 33, this is Moses' request. He said, God, I want to know more about you. Show me more of yourself. I've seen all kind of things. I know a lot about you, but I want to know more about you. And matter of fact, he just said, show me your glory. And God said, y'all, I got some Bible reading. And God said, wait a minute, Moses, wait a minute. I can't show you my full glory. If I showed you my full glory, I have to get ready to do your eulogy. I had to go on and bury it because no man can see my full glory and live. But my point is, Moses had more of a desire, an insatiable desire to be closer to God. So that's what happens, saints, as we mature in Christ, as you become a father in the faith. You say, I want to know more about God. So which group are you in? A little child, content to be saved, content to be born again. I got my fire insurance. I'm okay. When I die, I'm not going to hell. I mean, that's good. But you need to grow. I need to grow. So are you a little child? Are you a young adult? Or are you a father in the faith? Now look, we can kind of fool ourselves. Oh yeah, I'm mature. I'm like the father in the faith. Well, really, these next three verses. Remember, I said use this sermon as kind of a self-evaluation. These next three verses are going to help show you and me exactly which group we fall in more routinely: the little child group, or the young adult group, or the father group. Look at verses 15 through 17. Child of God, saints, do not love. Somebody say, do not. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, John writes this very, as the Holy Spirit was leading Brother John, he writes very matter-of-factly. We read a few verses this morning in Sunday Blast. He doesn't leave much wiggle room. It's not much in between, which is not. Either you for the Lord or you're not for the Lord. So listen to what John said. John said, he said, don't love the world or the things in the world. So if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not, all that stuff is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Here it is. Do you love the world more, or do you love God more? Do you love the flesh more, or do you love God more? That's kind of the litmus test this morning, saints. Which side do you topple on the most? Now, in this verse 15, love means affection and devotion. A deep affection and a devotion towards something. So it says, do you love the world? The word world in this verse is not talking about the physical world that I can look out the window now and see, you know, the grass and the ground and the trees. Not talking about the physical world here in this verse. But it means, you might want to jot this down, it means the invisible spiritual system of evil set up by the devil that directly opposes God, his word, and his people. Again, world in this verse means this invisible spiritual system set up by the devil, set up by Satan himself, that directly opposes God, God's word, and God's people. I mean, the Bible even calls the devil, he's a god of this world, little G-O-D, he's a god of this world. So John says, do you love this demonically set up system, or do you love God? This system that's been set up by the devil, this system that's passing away. And John, matter of factly, says, if you love this world, if you love this world more than you love God, he said, you're not a child of God. He said, the love of the Father is not in you, he says. Here it is, simply put, saints. You or I cannot love God and love this world system at the same time. Jesus said it this way. So you can't love God and mammon, or you can't love God and money and material things. You're going to either love one and hate the other. You both of them can't be your masters. I said, both of them can't be your masters. Kind of like the rich young ruler. You know, he came to Jesus, and with his little religious self, he came to Jesus. And he asked a very good question, a very profound question. He said, Master, what must I do? We know this parable. This wasn't a parable, this was a real life incident. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, as our Lord and Savior often did, infinitely saw his heart. And so Jesus said, okay, you know the commandments. And Jesus listed a few of the commandments, and the rich young ruler said, I keep all those. I check all the boxes. But number one, good thing I wasn't our Lord and Savior, right? I would have just blasted him right then. I said, man, you lying right now. You don't keep all the commandments. Nobody keeps all the commandments. But Jesus said, okay, I give you that. You got a lot of stuff. Go back and get rid of all that stuff and come back and follow me. Because Jesus saw his heart. The Bible said he went away. The rich young ruler went away sad. Why? Because all that materialistic stuff, all that stuff he had, his portfolio was more important to him than following Jesus. And we don't know what Jesus would have done. I mean, people often surmise, we guess, you know, maybe if he just said, oh yeah, I'll go back and give it away. Jesus might have said, no, you don't have to give it all away. But he did, went away sad because he valued all his possessions more so than he valued Jesus. And so that's what John is saying. That's what I'm saying this morning, that it depends on where you are in your spiritual growth. Oftentimes we do allow other things to get before God. See, our God, our Christ, he is a jealous God. God said, have no other gods before me. And a lot of times we put some good stuff, not sinful stuff in and of itself, but we often, if you're not careful, put other stuff before God. Come on now. I mean, it's not your job and then God. No, it's God and then your job. It's not, this is a good thing. Listen, it's not your family, your husband or your wife or your kids or your siblings. It's not your family. Oh yes, and then God. No, it's God first. It's definitely not your money, your car, your houses, all that stuff, you know, bling and things, and then God. No, it's God first before all that stuff. It's God first. God said, I am God all by myself. I will have no other gods before me. It's not your favorite leisure activities or hobbies, whatever they might be. Or it's not TV, or it's not social media. It's not Facebook or Instagram or whatever it might be before God. It's God. Let's be honest. How many, I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand. How many of you, as soon as you get up in the morning, the first thing you do, maybe turn on the TV and watch the news or pull up your phone and watch Facebook before you read the scriptures or say something to the Lord? I mean, what's first place in your heart? God says, John says, you can't love other things equal to God and say, okay, God is first. John says, here it is, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because as God's love increases in us, as our love for Christ increases, our love for these other things will decrease. Does that make sense? And really, as our love for the Father grows, our love for the other correct things, be it your spouse, be it your kids, job, be it whatever, we're able to view those things more properly and really be more effective at being a good husband, good father, good mother, good wife, good worker. Because first, God is first in our lives. I said, God is first in our lives. You'll be a diligent worker. You'll work as unto the Lord rather than for man. Because you know it's from the Lord you receive the inheritance, because it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, somebody say all. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not, somebody say is not. That stuff is not of the Father, but is of the world. Jesus said this way in John 15. Jesus said that we are not of the world. We're in the world. We're in this system, this fallen world, this demonic system, but we're not of the world. We're not isolationists. We're not monks. We don't go and say, I'm not going to go outside because there's sin out there. Well, you can't get rid of yourself. Sin is in you. But we are in the world, but not of the world. Verse 16, I submit for your consideration this morning that the very first sin in Genesis chapter 3, when we first see sin come on the scene, you know, God had told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you do that, you will surely die. But in Genesis 3, when Eve sins, it encompasses these three things that I just read. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I mean, the devil said, okay, it worked in Genesis 3, so I might as well just keep on using it. My game plan, I ain't got to change it. Because see, Eve, look, she looked, there it is, lust of the eyes, she looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she saw, the Bible said in Genesis 3, she saw that it was good. She saw that it was good for food. So, matter of fact, it appealed to the flesh. There is the lust of the flesh. She looked with her eyes. She saw it was beautiful to her eyes, the lust of the eyes. She saw that it appealed to the flesh, that it was good for food, the lust of the flesh. And here it is, the pride of life. And she saw that it was good to make one wise. That's the pride of life. She saw that and reasoned that, and what the devil was telling her, hey, yeah, really, God is trying to hold out on y'all. If you eat of this, you'll be just like God. That's the pride of life. That's the pride of man. I always want to be like God. Like in the Tower of Babel. They said, we're going to build this high tower. We're going to go all the way. We're going to be up there. Be like God. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Usually when people fall into sin, or especially hang out in sin, it's usually one of those areas, all those areas interconnected. I mean, look at King David, a great biblical example. He walked out on his rooftop and look, the lust of the eyes, he saw Bathsheba and the lust of the flesh. He said, I don't care if she's married, I want to have her. I'm the king. And so he called her in the pride of life. He basically said, I'm going to play God. I'm just going to have her. I'm going to call her in. You and I maybe need to be like Job. Job made a covenant with his eyes. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So when the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life try to rear its ugly head in our lives, we got to take every thought, go back to the word of God again, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I think it was Martin Luther who said this. He said, you and I can't control what birds fly over our head, but you can keep them from nesting there. In other words, thoughts come in and out of your head, out and out of my head. We can stop them from just hanging out there or following through on those thoughts. We can take them captive to the obedience of Christ. So verse 16, again, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, in these verses, this word lust means a strong desire for evil things. a strong desire for evil things. Again, saints, because of Genesis 3, we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. People don't have to teach us how to have a strong desire for what's wrong. I don't remember going through any classes in my parents' house. Son, we're going to teach you how to have a desire to do what's wrong. Nobody put me in that class, but somehow that often would come up in me. What about you? It would come up in you too. So that word in that verse means a strong desire for evil things, the lust in these verses. Flesh is our sin nature. The lust of the flesh, our sin nature. Paul laments about it in Romans 7. Minister Bray and Minister Turner and I heard Dr. Lawson do a great job of exegeting that last week at the conference, as he was talking about how Paul laments in Romans 7. So even as we mature to fatherhood, as we mature in the faith, we still have a battle going on against sin. So I want to make sure I'm clear in my articulation this morning. I'm not saying we're not going to ever get to the point where we sinless and don't have any problem. We're going to always be fighting sin. I said, we're going to always be fighting sin, but we should be maturing in this Christian walk, going from a little child to a young adult to a father in the faith. Paul said he had this thing going on. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he goes on and laments. He keeps lamenting in Romans 7. He finally said, who will, first he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Then he said, oh, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need the Lord. Paul said, I need Jesus to help deliver me from this. And he is on my side. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This stuff is not from God. It's not from the Father. It's from the pits of hell. It's from the devil. Verse 17, listen to what it says. And the world is passing away. You can hold on to this world if you want to. This world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father, he who does the will of God, abides forever, Brother Kirk. So check this out. This world system, this we know we have three enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh. But this world system, it's passing away. Matter of fact, one day, we looked at it Wednesday night. One day, Revelation 20 and 10, read that sometime, Revelation 20 and 10. One day soon, one day, the devil, or Satan himself, is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. His system will be thrown into the lake of fire. And all those who reject Christ, all those who are following him, will be thrown into the lake of fire. But if you're doing the will of God, like I said, this is a self-evaluation sermon this morning. If you're doing the will of God, the Bible says, the word of God says, you will abide forever. You will abide forever. I'm glad that as a Christian, we can have eternal security. I'm glad that when I die, I don't have to worry about what's going to happen because my faith is in Christ. And Christ said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you might be there with me also. It's nothing like having a future home. As we grow, move from a little child to a young adult to a father, there should be evidences in our lives. There will be evidences in our lives, fruit in our lives that kind of help prove our salvation. You can't earn your salvation. Works would earn our salvation. It's by grace. It's a free gift from God. But Ephesians 2:10 does say that God, we are his workmanship and he's created for some good works for us. So as you and I grow in grace, we shouldn't be little children. We shouldn't hang out in that mode. We should grow and mature. We shouldn't even be just like, you know, young adults. We should move on toward fatherhood in the faith. And this verse says, if your lifestyle is one of consistently loving God more than you love the world or the things in the world, that you will abide forever with God. And one day, saints, here it is. One day you and I will stand before the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment, Brother Shivers, is not about whether you're going to get into heaven or not. That's the judgment of just our works are going to be judged. Your faithfulness, my faithfulness, our works will be judged. We'll stand there before the Father. And it talks about how our works will go before him and some will come forth, it will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble, but some will come forth as pure gold. Wouldn't it be a shame to be standing before the Lord. And because maybe I've stayed in the little children category most of my Christian life, my works have just burned up. I'm still headed to heaven, but my works are just burned up. You want to be useful in the hands of the Lord. You want to come out the pacifier. You want to come out of the pull-ups. You want to move on and go in the most holy faith. Again, that's why the text challenges here. It says, little children, say young men, and says, fathers. I want to end with this one verse out of 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're going to put it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Again, think in your mind, which group are you in? Little children, young adults, or fathers in the faith? Are you growing in the most holy faith? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. It's on the screen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, if you're laboring for and with the Lord, you will be growing. You won't be a little child all your Christian life. You won't be a young adult, a young man, a young woman all your Christian life. You will be growing in the most holy faith. You won't be comfortable in this world system. You would feel more tension. I don't know about you, but I feel tension sometimes here on planet Earth. You can't even flip across the TV and find anything halfway decent to watch on TV. I like sports. So I watch a lot of sports. But you can't all find a decent show that's not worldly, that's not corrupting your mind and your thinking. Like, man, this is not my home. I'm like an alien. The Bible says we're like aliens passing through, Sister Annie. We're just graveyard travelers. When I was growing up, my mother would take me fishing with her. She loves to fish. She's 83 years old and still now. She can get to the watering hole. She'd get there and she still fishes some. And I remember I would go fishing with her, and my dad would love to hunt. I would go hunting with him sometimes. But when I would go fishing with my mom, every now and then you catch something, right? And my mother, she old school, so we fish on the banks. We went in out there in a boat and we on the bank with a pole. But you catch a perch or something, you try to get it off the line, and every now and then it'll slip out of your hand because it's real slippery. And I remember it just vividly as a little kid. It would always just flop, 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 flop. And if you didn't hurry up, sometimes my mom would go, boy, grab that fish. Because if you didn't hurry up and grab him, he going to end up back in the water. Why? Well, he's out of his element. He's not used to the land. He's wanting to get to the water, his natural evidence, his natural element. As a follower of Christ, as we mature in the most holy faith, moving from little children to young adults to fathers in the faith, more and more, we should be like that fish on dry ground as we live here in this world system. It's like something's not quite right. This is not really my home. I'm going to make a difference while I'm here by God's grace, but this is not really my home. I'm ready to get back to the water. I'm ready to head on to heaven, to glory. So this is not really my home. We're just graveyard travelers. We're just passing through. Now, while we are passing through, we got work to do. We want to make a difference while we're here. But this is not our home. Aren't you glad this is not the end? This is not the end right here. This is just the beginning. We're looking for that home whose builder and maker is God, like Abraham was. And as we mature, that becomes more and more apparent to us. That this is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm on assignment for a time, for a season, until God has finished using me here on planet Earth. He's going to call me on home. And as he calls us home, we want to be called home as fathers. Not as little children, not as young adults, not as young men. But as mature followers of Christ. We want to be strong. We want to abide in the word. We want to be overcoming the evil one. Amen. Get the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. I'm through. So which group are you in? Which group are you in? Father, mature us all in the most holy faith. We admit and confess that at times we might hang out in the little children phase. At times we might be in the young men phase. But help us to be more in that father phase, dear God.